close the door and leave it open at the same time. You and I both know that holding on can take a while.
Okay, sorry about that. The microphone wasn't plugged in. You won't hear anything because I'm going to go back and silence the audio on that. I'm here, but I do need to turn this up just a bit. Yeah, here we go. What does that do? Nothing good. Okay, here we go. What does that do? Oh, that makes things come alive. See, I'm still trying to figure out my Scarlett preamp. I got a new microphone, and if you listen to this podcast, you are the first to know that I am working on a Christmas EP, and it will complement the Roots Go Around album in that it's some old songs that I'm pulling up, but I'm redoing all of them, and there'll be some new ones just like Roots Go Around as well. I think I just did one new one on Roots Go Around. I think so. So, you're hearing it right now. God has cleared up some of my schedule to be able to get that done because this month was looking crazy. But the body of Christ once again steps in and takes the weight off. We're going to talk about more of the whys for unity. It seems like this feely word, and for people that are not feely people, like myself, it's kind of cringeworthy. Like, what do you mean about all this unity stuff? Well, the example is what I just gave. We take the weight off of others within the body. If it weren't for the body of Christ and their prayers for me, I don't know where I would be when I walked away from the Lord. If it's not for the, you know, and I would not have known who to call when I wanted to get right with the Lord. So many times, even in the midst of struggling with legalism and being affiliated with, you know, the far reaches of the right movement, there were always everywhere. I'll give you an example. Everywhere, God would put people that were genuinely in love with Christ around me. Now, there was a lot of superficiality, there was a lot of duplicity, there was a lot of rule keeping, but there were always people along the way that encouraged me seriously. And we connected spiritually. You just knew. You can see it in their eyes. You know, maybe you're not there yet, but when their eyes don't look right, there might be something really wrong. And I've noticed this. The eyes are the window to the soul. And people disclose themselves. Anyway, I'm going off the track. But my example is this. When I was in college, a family member would constantly turn me into the office. And I would have to go to the student life office. I think I've said this before. What I want to emphasize is the fact that the person that was interviewing me for this quote-unquote thing that I did that was wrong, which wasn't, it was just wasn't rule-keeping, what my family member wanted me to be, the image that he wanted me to carry was that of not an artist. And I really think that because he was an artist, he was actually the kind of person that could eat anything and know exactly what was in it. He was phenomenal. And I think he was trying to, quote unquote, beat out of me the insecurities. This happens often, that he found in himself. So as an artist, as someone that was, you know, songwriting, I was living with them at the time. I'd be songwriting, and I just wasn't carrying this image that he wanted. And so he would constantly turn me in for who knows what. My aunt used to joke that it was, if I breathed wrong, I was in the office. And so the person that was interviewing me, that he was a student life leader, director. And at first he was giving me the grill. And then he came to, by the time I left college, I would have been in there way more years if it hadn't been for him transferring some of my credits. And then he ended up giving me the Student Heart Award, which had something to do with the school. But I want to illustrate this because I've said this story before. He went from, it was only the Spirit of God. He went from someone who was against me, as it were, because he was taking somebody else's word for it. And then through the Spirit of God, realizing what kind of person I really was, and then being one of my biggest cheerleaders by the time that I left. The Spirit of God does that. And I want to read a passage here. Did you know that the world doesn't have this? The unity, the membership, the structure, the purpose, our abilities, harmonizing, no one else has this. Now, you can go to like a factory or something and it's maybe symbolized there. But from within, because of the Spirit of God living in us, we are so closely connected, unless we are choosing not to realize this, that we have the ability within the structure of the body of Christ. We have the ability, now think about this, to reinforce someone else's true worth. Now, the world is, now think about the, now we get in our bubbles and we don't remember what it was like to not be saved. And, but do you think that the world goes around constantly being reminded of their worth? Absolutely not. You're going to find your worth at Facebook. You're going to find your worth at the mall. You're going to find your worth at the bar. You're going to find your worth at the club. And is it worthy? Does it reconcile us to God? No, it does the opposite. So the world does not go around daily reinforced with their worth. And God did not die for nothing. He died for you and me and her and him. That doesn't mean that we need to be filled up with some kind of pride. That means we have a purpose. That means we are valid. Do you know how much? I mean, teenagers now, especially with their, you know, entrapment with social media and screens, just wanting validity. We, as members of the body of Christ, we have the power to validate. That should make you almost cry. In comparison to what the world is living through right now. So let's read this. Psalm 133. Very short. Very beautiful. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there, in unity, not on Zion, not in the beard, in unity, for there, the Lord commanded the blessing, and even life forevermore. Now, there's a different version of this that I'd rather read, because it's not so clear in this version. So, sorry, I didn't. I'm going to try this version. Behold, search. Thank you. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that came down from the skirt of his garments, like the dew of Hermon that cometh down upon the mountains of Zion. For there Jehovah commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Unity. God indwelling unity. God validating us through this unity. It's fantastic. That's why we aim for it. That's why we aim for it, because a dying world needs to know there's more. And we're just a picture that there is more. I mean, my mom, who would not profess to be a Christian, when I gave birth to my first son, okay, that was catastrophic. 16 hours of labor. And he came out screaming. And then this girl next to me in the hospital, I just got to go down this trail for a little bit. This girl next to me in the hospital, she's younger than I am. Okay, fine. But she's in labor for 3 hours. And she has this little girl, and this was her cry. Kid you not. Me. Sound like, you know, maybe a distressed lamb or something. Meanwhile, my son is screaming his head off from the word go, because he's like, I don't know who opened the doors, but I did not ask to be here. And the nurses just come in and out, trying to get me. You must not be feeding him. Of course, no. No, that's not what I've been trying to do for the last 24 hours. I just thought I would just let him go, you know? It's time to grow up. We're going to kick this thing off with a good old fast. Of course I'm trying to feed him. So that was a disaster. But here's the thing. I brought him home. And from the word, I'm back, I had people from my church bringing me food. Like every other day for 3 weeks. And my mom, this is the picture she got. This girl's taken care of. This girl's taken care of. And, you know, moms take care of their kids, but she saw someone else take care of her daughter. The church is a beautiful thing. Unity needs to be aimed for. And we are a bit fragmented. We're divided between our, you know, denominational lines, which a lot of times are not necessary. But we're also fragmented because we don't see how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So we're going to peace out on that. Maybe, let me go to Galatians 2. I highlighted some stuff just from my reading this morning. It's basically, okay, I'll give the short version. Paul is, remember how we talked about, I think it was in the first day, how there's references in scripture that you need to take care of those that are actually weak. And I thought I'd bring up this topic. I don't know that has anything to do with this, but I thought I'd bring this topic up. When we concede for the weaker brother, that doesn't mean it's long term, because it's given in that passage that there should be growth. And this little couple of paragraphs here in Galatians 2 speaks to that element. So how do you know someone is weak versus someone who's just trying to gain control? And this passage gives you a little hint. Those that are just trying to gain control and tell you what to do are operating in the flesh. They're not being sanctified themselves. And their rule over you is what they're aspiring to. Basically, they're aspiring to things outside the Spirit of God. This is ladder climbing, okay? This is power. These are all works of the flesh. This is control, self-gratification, and this is what speaks to it. So we're starting in verse 1. 14 years later, I went back to Jerusalem. So Jerusalem, who's in Jerusalem? Not the Gentiles. Well, there might be a few, but it's Jerusalem, okay? We're dealing with Jews. Again, at this time, Remember, Paul's an apostle to the Gentiles. But he's going back to Jerusalem. I'm in some kind of weird mood. This time with Barnabas and Titus, they came too. I went there because God revealed to me that I should go. I'm doing my own thing. God says, go back. While I was there, I met privately with those considered to be leaders of the church and shared with them the message I'd been preaching to the Gentiles. And this is what we're going to highlight, even though for me it's all highlighted. I wanted to make sure that we were in agreement for fear that all my efforts had been wasted. This is not debilitating fear. That all my efforts had been wasted and I was running the race for nothing. And they supported me and did not even demand that my companion Titus be circumcised. What do you think has taken place here? What do you think has taken place here? Keeping to the law? No. A growing from a dependence. Oh, yeah, you need to be quiet for right now. My ending song clip came on because I forgot to press mute. So yeah, that's I'm telling myself to be quiet. So they had grown from a dependence on the law, and that's what we're all aimed toward. Now there are exceptions here. Paul speaks about having a thorn in the flesh. We don't know if this was a temptation problem. We don't know what it is. But I can tell you, in my life, there's something I probably will never move on from. And that is secular music and secular movies and TV shows. When the pool is just straight down, I cannot listen. And I don't know how to explain it to you. I'm so glad that some people can go to these concerts and stuff and be fine. I cannot. And there's a few that I can. It's not like across the board. But I don't think I will ever grow out of that. And it's okay. Maybe because God would like me to stick with that which is Jesus-centered. The temptation is always to go in to a certain genre or whatever to try to influence. And I'm clapping over here. Hey, you can do that. And you can think of a band right now that's done that. And stayed on the level. But I don't think that's my calling. And I don't know how close he's going to want me to get to that. In fact, the last album has a couple secular songs on it. So I'm not saying across the board. But like when I was talking the other day about not being able to hear a Kanye album before this Jesus is Lord album. I'm telling you that because it's across the board that way. Not just Kanye. I have a bunch of secular music, but I can listen to maybe 4 or 5 songs before I have to turn it off. I have a friend who will never drink again. And it's not that he's not growing. It's not that he's not head of a ministry right now. Maybe. And this is all speculation because God's ways are higher than ours. But it could be because he's ministering to those that will struggle with this. And God's just keeping him away from it. So we stay mindful of those around us and their struggles. But the minute you start to feel judged for your freedom, it could be sourced from someone who is not actually a weaker brother or someone in my case where, go ahead, watch whatever you want to watch. Listen to whatever you want to listen to. You're free. I'm not. I cannot do it. It's probably someone, and we'll keep reading, verse 4, even the question came up only because of some so-called believers there, false ones really, who were secretly brought in. They sneaked in to spy on us and take away the freedom that you've got a purpose we have in Christ Jesus. Some people do not even like the smell of freedom. Why? Because they're bound. They wanted to enslave us and force us to follow their Jewish regulations, but we refused to give in to them, not for a single moment. If you are condemned, if you are judged, if you are shamed, that is indicative that you're not dealing with the weaker brothers. See, weaker brothers are looking and they're following, and they stumble into it because they saw it. Oh, well, they did it, so maybe I can do it. And they're not judging you. They're just stumbling into that freedom that you have. And it doesn't work for them. But those that are seeking to take your freedom from you because it's disgusting to them. It's disgusting. It's beneath them. Oh, you have all this liberty? You just do what you want? In essence. They cannot handle these concepts. They aren't weaker brothers. They aren't ones with a thorn in their side. They're legalists. And you can move on. Not unlove, but move on from the mentality. But we refused to give in to them. Not even for a single moment. So that's all we're going to say about that. I know that was off the wall. But I'll pray and hopefully it'll come together. Lord, I thank you that you haven't made it difficult to come to the cross. This isn't a game we have to, hoops we have to jump over. I don't have to wonder. And I thank you for the body that you've given us, the body of believers that encourage us in our validity. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's a testimony. It's a light. It's a city on a hill. And it's where you are. I pray that we would be more mindful. This is a great thing. This isn't a feely thing. Something that might heal you. This is what the world needs. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Faith is alive. Faith is alive.